All right, good morning, Cornerstone. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, and the whole shebang. It's good to be with you today. Been an amazing service so far. I'm excited to conclude our series that we've been doing this month on Jesus Is. We've been talking about Jesus Is and talking about different things like Jesus is the King. Jesus is the prophet like Moses. Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is born, okay? And today, what I wanted to start off with are to see if you guys have ever heard of any of these slogans. Okay. May the force be with you. Live long and prosper. Play like a champion today. Notre Dame. Semper Fi. Si se puede. Yes, we can. Make America great again. Vicky's going to love this one. Hashtag all in. Yeah. Robert's not here, but we'll give him a shout out. Go Tigers. G-E-A-U-X. Go Tigers. You know, when you think about slogans or phrases, a lot of times when somebody says one of these, or you hear somebody out in the street talking about one or wearing a t-shirt, that says something to us about their worldview in a lot of ways. Or it might say something to us about their interests, or even their allegiances. In a lot of ways, slogans or taglines can define who we are. I mean, if you ask somebody in branding or marketing, their whole job in a lot of ways is to come up with an idea or a catchphrase or a slogan that really sort of sums up what we're about at this company or what we're trying to sell. When it comes to Christians, what do you think, in some ways, our tagline our slogan ought to be? There it is on the air, Byron can read. Amen. You know, it's very interesting because the idea that what is something that you could sum up what we're about? What is a phrase that should be continually on our lips? What is an expression or a sentence that should resonate from our heart? That people should be able to look at our lives and know that's what they're about. And I'd like to put before you today that it is this idea, it has been and should always be, that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. And so when you really look in the Bible, there are a lot of different titles. We've talked about them this month. But the overwhelming way that the Bible describes Jesus is as our Lord. Yes, he's our Savior. Yes, he's our King. Yes, he's the High Priest. Yes, he's the Son of Man. But above all, Jesus is Lord. And so what I want to talk about today is that exact phrase. I'm going to break it down in three different points. Point number one, Jesus is Lord. Point number two, Jesus is Lord. Keeping it simple for you. And point number three, Jesus is Lord. Lord. Amen. All right. So point number one. Oh, wait, wrong one. There we go. Jesus is Lord. I turned it on. There we go. So Jesus is Lord. What do we know about Jesus? You know, this past month, I encouraged us all to go through the scriptures and to pick a gospel of your choice and to really look at who Jesus is. Who does the Word of God say that Jesus is? Some things that stood out to me as I studied out the Gospel of Luke this month. First off, Jesus is from Nazareth, right? He is Jesus of Nazareth. And what does that mean? What would that mean in the first century setting? Well, if you remember when Jesus called Philip and then Philip went to call Nathanael, he says, "We found the one that Moses wrote about. We found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael responds, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? It'd be like me saying, Athens, Georgia. Now, Natasha came, you know, went to school there. So one good thing, at least one good thing came out of Athens, right? But, you know, Jesus was from this small backwoods town in the north of Israel. In a lot of ways, his town, the fact that he was brought up and come from Nazareth meant he was kind of a nobody. It was just, you know, sort of where the country folk live, the people that are far away from Jerusalem, those folks that are descendants of the people of the 10 tribes that lived in the north and mixed with the Gentiles. He's from Nazareth. But I like to think about it that Jesus was just kind of a hometown, a small town guy. He was relatable. He could get along with anybody. In addition to being from Nazareth, he was a carpenter's adopted son. What does this mean? Well, in the first century setting, the guy that came, Marty Solomon, talked from Bema. In Jewish tradition, when they were 2 years old, they would start learning the Torah. And they had to learn and memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. And the students that showed promise, that were really good at it, would be picked by a rabbi to then come and be their disciple. And anyone who couldn't do that, they would basically say, well, you need to go back and be your father's apprentice and pray that your children can do what you couldn't do. And so you think about, Jesus probably was the sharpest pupil in the class. He knew the Bible better than anybody because he is the living word. But what this means for us, the fact that he's described as a carpenter's son, when some rabbi said, hey, come follow me, Jesus actually would have turned it down. He said, no, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to work with my family. And the reason the Bible talks about him starting at 30 years old, his ministry, because in Jewish tradition, you were basically a boy until you were 20 years old. And you spent the next 10 years from 20 to 30 being an apprentice of your family and paying back half your life, basically working for your parents to pay back half of what they'd done for you. And so that's why Jesus didn't start until he was about 30 years old. Okay, he wasn't just a bum living in mom's basement, but it was just sort of the culture and the tradition of that time. And he started his ministry at 30 years old. I love the fact that Jesus was an older brother. You got anybody here that's you got younger siblings? You ever been annoyed by your younger siblings? Chloe, has your younger sister ever gotten on your nerves? Has she maybe gone in your room and touched your stuff? Hassan, has Jordan ever come and messed with your stuff? You know? Zach and Luke are close, but I'm sure there are plenty of times. Luke knows. He's like, I've been the annoying younger. I mean, Jesus had younger siblings. You think about how relatable Jesus is to us. That's what Steve preached about. Jesus is the Son of Man. He's just like one of us. The fact that Jesus is Lord is an extremely encouraging and comforting and a relieving thing, that he is like one of us. He had to deal with family at the holidays. Remember when he went to the temple and stayed behind? Right? He had to deal with a lot of the same issues that we deal with in family. Additionally, Jesus was a rabbi or a teacher. He was the prophet, the priest. He was our crucified king. You know, the thing I love about Jesus is how much he knew the word. You see, the thing about Jesus is it wasn't just his life that was miraculous. It was his commitment to God and to God's word. They often said, man, we've never heard anybody teach like this. He's not like the priests. He's not like the teachers of the law. He preaches with authority. He knew God's word. The other amazing thing about the fact that Jesus is Lord is the fact that he describes himself as being gentle and humble of heart. He was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Hebrews talks about he can sympathize with us because he was tempted in every way that we are, but yet was without sin. And so he can say, I know what it's like. I know what disappointment is like. I know what being tempted to be angry. I know what being frustrated with other people is like. He was one just like us. And so the question that begs to be asked when we think about the fact that Jesus is Lord is, are we like him then? He was relatable. Are we? Are we just hermits that want to sort of hoard our life and our time and everything we do and just stay in the house and do what's important to us? Or are we out and about? When the neighborhood has a cookout, do you go and participate and get to know your neighbors and friends. When someone needs to be helped, are you there? Are you relatable to people? Can people talk to you? Or is every time, you know, something Steve said the other day is those guys, those Christians, that every time you talk to them, it's just all good all the time. And how unrelatable that is, right? Dude, Jesus was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. That's part of how he could relate to people, because he understood what it was to struggle. Are we like that, or is everything all, man, bro, it's just good, going good, everything's good, been good, gonna be good. Are we real people that people feel like this person can sympathize with me the way Jesus did? Are we committed to the word the way Jesus is? I mean, do you know who Jesus is? Did you spend that time this month studying him out in the Gospels? Because in order to be like the Lord, we have to know the Lord. In order to know the Lord, we've got to know his word. Are you humble? Sometimes. Do you respond well to correction? Do you take it? Do you seek it? Right? Are you humble? Are we being like Jesus? And the thing that, you know, Steve brought up and talked about, we're going to have the 7 days of prayer, and I'm so excited about it, to end the year and to start the year in prayer. But what is our prayer life like? Because one way in which we can imitate Jesus, our Lord, is to the same way that he put everything on the line and he prayed to God about everything that was going on, are we those type of prayer warriors? Do we give God all of our worries and cares and concerns? Because the thing about worry is a conversation that you have with yourself about things you can't change. While prayer is a conversation that you have with God about things he can change. And think about this. Prayer is the most important conversation you're going to have every single day. The most important conversation you're going to have every single day of 2020 is the conversation you have with God. Amen. Nothing will affect your day-to-day more than if you're pouring yourself in and being like Jesus, getting up early before the sun comes up and spending time with God before those worries, troubles, and cares and toils and snares hit you when you get to the office at 9:02 instead of 8:59. And so I really encourage you, if you haven't signed up for the prayer chain, check the bulletin, go do it, see Deidre, see me, see anybody on staff, we'll give you the link. Let's really blow this out, not because it's just something to check off to do, but if Jesus is Lord and he was a man of prayer, let's be men and women of prayer. Let's pray to God and thank him for all the things he did in 2019 and seek his will for what he wants to do in our lives, in our families, in our church in 2020. Men's prayer is still going on Tuesday. Tuesday, 6:30 at the park across the street. Women's prayer, some people thought it was canceled. It's still going on this Friday at 11 a.m. at the building. We have so many opportunities. You know, sign up for that time slot and then you're, right, then you're already there. But let's be men and women of prayer. Jesus is Lord. The thing about Jesus being Lord, that means that if Jesus is Lord, we can go to the next slide. That means a lot of different people are not Lord. You see, in the first century, for them to say Jesus is Lord, what they were saying is Caesar is not Lord. It was a socio-political statement. Caesar claimed that he was the divine son of God, actually. And so Jesus claiming, when Christians said Jesus is Lord, they were saying, no, that is not true. They could have been killed. They could have been thrown in jail. They could have been arrested for making this proclamation. It also means that Zeus or Apollos or Aphrodite or whatever other gods, Ra, when you're saying Jesus is Lord, you're saying they are not Lord. It was a religious statement as well. And so when we look at this idea that this is our slogan, this is our oath, this is our pledge of allegiance, we're saying Jesus is Lord and not all these other folks. Not President Trump, not President Obama, not who's ever president number 46. They're not Lord. Not the United States government. It's not Lord. Some of us, you know, it's like we put the Constitution and the Bible on the same level. It's like, you know, it's like these things are equal, right? I mean, these are both perfect documents. One of them said that people with my skin color were 3/5 of human beings as it was originally written. Is that a perfect document? But some of us act like that. I mean, we care so much more, honestly, about what goes on in this country rather than what's going on, like Steve said, in the world behind the world, with the souls and with the issues and with the things that God cares about. We seem to care more about that stuff. And it makes us look like, well, really, your politics are Lord. Your political party is Lord. If somebody looked at your Facebook page, it'd look like, you know, the Democratic Party is your Lord. Or the Republican Party is your Lord. But all of us, when we stood in those waters of baptism, we said, Jesus is Lord. And not all these other people. Not Cornerstone Church. Not Fenton Gardner. Not the leadership team. Not the staff. None of these people can be Lord. Because what happens is when you're relying on Fenton to come, you can come to church and Fenton, feed me. And leadership team, feed me. You're coming and it's this idea of you just sit here and you're a spectator. But when Jesus is Lord, you're coming in, who can I serve? Who needs to be encouraged today? Man, I haven't talked to that brother in a while. Let me go see how he's doing when Jesus is Lord. Finally, the hard one, and Jesus spoke very directly about this in Luke 14, not even family can be Lord. You know, there are a lot of great phrases, family above all, and family is everything, which, you know, in a lot of ways I agree, but it can sort of be twisted on its head, and that's what Jesus was getting at in Luke 14. If you love anybody more than me, you're not worthy of me. Say, whoever it is you love the most, your children, your wife, your brothers and sisters, your mother, right? If this is hate and this is love, that same distance needs to be between whoever you love the most and God. You've got to love God, super number one. And again, I've talked about this so much. It is so easy to worship our children. It's so easy to put our schedule around what it is they need to do. And everything we've got to do is around the children's activities and the children's sports. And we can't go to midweek because they've got to go to practice. And we can't, you know, we're going to miss Sundays on end because they've got these tournaments. And so many things can be wrapped up in, man, what my children have to do. And I love this quote I said one time. Sometimes we're so worried about trying to get our children to go to Harvard. And we're not even thinking about, are we trying to get our children to go to heaven? And I'm not saying don't be a good dad. I'm not saying don't be a good spouse and spend time. I hope you had a ton of fun this holiday season, spending time with your family and around the table and having meals. But Jesus has to be Lord. And honestly, on that list that Jesus gives, the person who we most often put number one, let's be honest, it's us. You get up, man, what's Fenton going to eat today? What's my schedule? Let me log on my Facebook, see who sent me some comments. What am I eating later on? What do I got to do today? We get up and we think about it's me all day long. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm whatever. That's true. But Jesus has to be Lord. Right, yes. And so asking yourself in 2019, was he Lord? What about in 2020? This is the amazing thing about our God. His mercies are new every morning. Today you can say Jesus is going to be Lord. And matter of fact, every day, that's what we need to get up and say is that Jesus is going to be Lord. Let's look at the next slide. Point number two, Jesus is Lord. Over in Hebrews, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The point here is it wasn't that Jesus just was Lord or that Jesus will be Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's reigning right now at the right hand of God. He's the one who could approach the Ancient of Days and sit at his right hand. He is interceding for us every single day. That kind and compassionate and humble servant of God is pleading on our behalf right now at God's right hand. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be down there. Father, forgive them. Father, I get it. He is Lord. But the question can often become for us, is that still true for us today? Was Jesus just Lord for you at your baptism? Was he just Lord for you as a young Christian when you were fired up and ready to go for God? Is Jesus just Lord for you from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Sunday mornings? Or is Jesus the reigning, crucified king in your life every day? What does that look like practically? Lord of your finances. Now, I don't get up here. I don't know what anybody gives for contribution. That is not my point. That's not what I'm about to talk about. But the point is, think about this. Did you overspend this Christmas? Did you buy a bunch of gifts that maybe, that really, that porcelain duck, did that person really need that porcelain duck? another Santa hat, another pair of socks. Or what about the people around us? What about the benevolent organizations? What about the people at Hands of Christ or Ground Zero Grace or All Sort of Peace? What about those families we got the angel trees for? Is Jesus Lord of your finances? Are you generous and giving in that way? You know, is it going to be, not getting a contribution check this month because I just spent too much on Christmas? Again, I don't know what anybody gives. I don't even like getting up here and talking about money. But is Jesus Lord of this area of your life? Is Jesus Lord of your marriage? Does your marriage look like Ephesians 5, where the husband is the head of the wife and you lead your household? Where the husband loves his wife and the wife respects her husband? Is your marriage, is Jesus Lord of your marriage? I'm so grateful. I talk about them all the time, Greg and Vicky. We've just learned so much about how to be better spouses, about how to be better parents, because we've tried to be humble and say, hey, we need help. We don't have it all figured out. This is what's going on. Fenton was a jerk this week, per the usual, just like we talked about 2 weeks ago. I was selfish in this way, or this is what's going on. I wasn't respectful. I mean, we had to talk about, man, how do we parent together? How do we co-parent? You know, in your marriage, are you talking about things and making decisions together before passing things down to the children? Mm-mm. Is Jesus Lord of your marriage? Is he Lord of your parenting? Is Jesus Lord today of these things? Is Jesus Lord of your work? Over in Colossians 3, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Work as working for one, working for the Lord and not for yourself, not for men. Is Jesus Lord of your work ethic? And again, honestly, for us, a lot of us, it's more the other extreme. We probably work too much. And so when you talk about is Jesus Lord of your work, that includes the idea of Sabbath, of rest, of stopping, of knowing I need to log out and go home and be with my family. The building is not on fire. That email can wait till tomorrow. Is Jesus Lord today? Not just was he Lord, not just will he be Lord, but is he Lord? And the next slide. This is, in a lot of ways for me, I think the scariest verse in the entire Bible. Over in Matthew chapter 7, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Drive out demons in your name? And do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers, or you evildoers. It's not just saying Jesus is Lord the one time as you sit in the waters of baptism. When you talk about being born again, it's really something, you got to be born again and again and again. You got to be made new. That's why his mercies are new every morning. You got to be made new again and again and again. You got to live by faith again and again. Not just a one-time commitment. It's like a marriage, right? You didn't know everything about the person. When you stood up there and said, I do. You're making a commitment to that person till death do you part. It's the same thing when we say Jesus is Lord. I'm making a commitment to him. I'm not perfect. I don't know everything. I'm going to learn and I'm going to grow and I'm going to become more and more like Jesus over my Christian life. But I've committed that he is Lord today, yesterday, and every day. You think about in John 13, Jesus washed the disciples' feet and Judas is there. And he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. He was Judas's teacher and Lord. He was the best pastor you could ever have, the best minister, the best friend you could ever have. And Judas still did what he did, right? Again, it's about this commitment. It's about this oath. It's about a pledge of allegiance that Jesus is Lord every day. We can't do his will if we don't know his will. We have to be in his word daily. A good resolution of 2020 will be something like this. What if we started to treat our Bibles and God's word like we do our cell phones? What if we carried it with us everywhere? Turned back to go home to get it if we forgot it? Right? You ever been caught? Oh, where's my phone? Checked it for messages throughout the day? Used it in the case of an emergency? And spent an hour or more using it every day? That would be a simple New Year's resolution. In 2020, I'm going to treat my Bible the way I treat my cell phone. Because if I want for Jesus to be Lord of my life every day, and not just be saying, Lord, Lord, but I did X, Y, and Z. It's not about the doing. That's what that pastor is saying. You can do a ton of great stuff. Not just about doing. We're not saved by works, but it's about that commitment and that oath to Jesus that he is Lord. It's amazing. I had some awesome conversations this week, three different ones that really just encouraged my soul and encouraged my spirit. So Teresa wanted to get with me and Natasha. And she just said, hey, I've got some questions about Revelation. Can we just sit down and do a Bible study about some stuff? This is a young Christian. She's baptized last year, right? Lucretia, same thing. She called us up and said, hey, can we have lunch? And we got together. We had brunch. We made pancakes and eggs and everything. And then we sat down. She said, hey, I've got questions about the divinity of Jesus. I want to know more about the Trinity. Well, that's an easy one. But I appreciated her heart to want to dig deep and study and know. Bob Gravely sent me an email earlier this week like, hey, I heard you've studied out Luke and Acts a lot. Can you recommend some commentaries on it? I just appreciate this, the people of this church just wanting to dig deep, wanting to be in their Bibles. And that's what it takes if we're going to say that Jesus is Lord. The final point, Jesus is Lord. Look at the last slide here. I love all these descriptions about Jesus. At his birth, we just talked about a lot over the Christmas season, right? That Jesus, his name also means Emmanuel. Jesus is Yeshua. It means Yahweh saves or God saves. Another way of saying that Emmanuel, God is with us. That's what it means that he's Lord. He's with us. Another thing the Bible says about him in John chapter 1:1, this is one of the scriptures we looked at with Lucretia, that the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That Jesus is the Word become flesh. He's not a created being. He didn't just show up when he was born in Bethlehem. He didn't just become God's son at his baptism. He was there at the beginning. That's what it means that Jesus is Lord. I love in Colossians, it says that he is the image of the invisible God. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. You want to know how God feels? Look at how Jesus responded to situations. The term here is, so for us, we've got, you know, artists and paintings and pictures and all sort of things. In their day, you know, you just didn't go and have somebody make a portrait of you. And so what this term means, that he's the image of God, it was a term that they used in terms of a coin when they imprinted Caesar's image on the coin. And so that, for them, that was like, whoa, this looks just like Caesar. Now, we would look at a quarter or who's on the dime, right? We would say, that didn't look like, who's on the dime? Jefferson? I don't know. But we would look at that and say, that's not a good picture. That's not a good representation. But in their day, it would have been the closest thing to it. And it's like saying, this is what Jesus is. The way you look at that coin and see somebody's image, he's the exact image of the invisible God. In Hebrews, it says he is the exact representation of God's being. In Hebrews 1:3. And I love over in Revelation how it talks about he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is also the Lamb of God who was slain for the world. Jesus is Lord. It was really interesting. Last year, went on an intern retreat. We went up to the Kenzie's cabin near the lake, and this is, we're going to have interns again this year. I'm so excited about it. And we went up there, you know, at a cabin, you always got games, magazines, the whole deal. So Laurel and Tim had this 3D tic-tac-toe. Now, you've heard of tic-tac-toe, I'm sure, but 3D tic-tac-toe. So what that is it's got sort of these little, these little poles, and you can play tic-tac-toe on the bottom row, but you also stack as you go up, okay? And I love games, you know, I talked about it last week. I love Uno and stuff like that. So Lauren, I'm like, hey, this is 3D tic-tac-toe. So we start playing, and man, Laura wiped the floor with me. I mean, if we played six times, she won the first five. And finally, when I won one, I said, all right, I'm going to quit. I'm going to go out on top, untied, and, you know, right now, 1-0 record moving forward. But it was really cool because this Christmas, she actually bought me a copy because she was like, you need to practice, dude. Get ready for next year. But they bought me one. And the cool thing about it is, you know, as we were playing the first couple of times, I lost, and it wasn't even because it was 3D. Laurel said, remember, at the basic level, it's still just tic-tac-toe. At the basic level, the same rules apply on a one-dimensional tic-tac-toe apply on the bottom level. And she said, you know, you gotta remember the basics before you can move on. A lot of this stuff about Jesus, you know, Lucretia wanted to get together and talk about the Trinity. That is some really deep stuff. And that's awesome, and I applaud that. But for a lot of us, I think it would be good just to, in 2020, let's just do the basics. What would it be like if everybody at Cornerstone just read their Bible and prayed every day of 2020? What would it be like if we just shared our faith every week in 2020? What would it be like if we said, I'm going to be kind today? I'm going to be generous every day. If we could just, you know, now some of us, we need to go on a solid food. Amen. We do the 3D tic-tac-toe. We can stack up, right? Some of us have been Christians a very long time. But the plea is, don't forget the basics, that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That is the basic, that Jesus is Lord. I want to close out with this scripture over in Philippians chapter 2. It's really amazing. It says over in Proverbs 28 that the wicked flee though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Righteous are as bold as lions. The same way that Jesus is a lion, we're meant to be lions, but we're also meant to be lambs. Shea Future posted an article this week. It's very interesting about this idea that, you know, a lot of times we live in this world and it's like, man, things are just worse than they've ever been. And this is the worst of times. And everything is just bad and dangerous and evil. And society has never been as worse as it is now. The thing I like to say to that is every generation has its sin. Every generation has its problems. But it was really amazing and interesting, just some of the facts that pointed out, you know, if you look across the world, in a lot of ways, poverty is lower than it's ever been at a worldwide level. You think about the fact that societies, you know, stuff that was, you know, flip phones that we had in the late 90s, early 2000s, even people in third world countries have phones and have even smartphones and can use WhatsApp and make an international call for free. And there are places that have never had water before, they now have water. And so in a lot of ways, we're living in the best of times. I mean, think about it, indoor plumbing. You've got indoor plumbing. What's the point? The point is, we're about to start the roaring 20s all over again. A couple days, it's going to be 2020. We can decide that, man, this is going to be the best year of my life. We can decide that whatever challenges come, because of the fact that Jesus is Lord, this is going to be the best year of my life. Now, that doesn't mean you don't suffer. That doesn't mean that somebody may not die. That doesn't mean that you may not lose a job or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But you can decide that because Jesus is Lord, this is going to be the best year of my life. I had a minister when I was growing up. He used to say, tomorrow is the first day of the rest of your life. Give it your best shot. I think if we can just get up every day and say, Jesus is Lord, that what we'll do. That will be what we'll do. So in Philippians 2, we'll close out with this. Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited or something to be grasped. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, here's the thing. Everybody that has ever lived will one day say Jesus is Lord. The challenge for us is say it on this side of heaven. You don't want it to be the first time you're saying it as he's standing in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. So if you didn't make a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, you're studying the Bible right now, make that decision. You know, Paul told Ananias, told Paul, what are you waiting for? Get up, get baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name, making that declaration, Jesus is Lord. And if you're a Christian, make that decision today that for every day of 2020, Jesus is going to be Lord. Thank you. Amen.